Well, if the objective was for Kansas football to be a somewhat relevant topic in the month of February, I guess it was a success. But other than that, I don't know. KU does still have a very nice recruiting class for 2018, but we'll see if there is any more deterioration to it. They had a top 10 class just a few days ago as they had gone into Louisiana and picked up a whole bunch of four-star commits. But in the last few days, a couple of them have reversed course. Jamar Chase was a four-star wide receiver out of Louisiana. He was committed for 8 days to KU before announcing his decommitment, said that he had made a rash decision, and it is basically what's been reported is that he committed as soon as he got an offer to LSU, which is pretty much exactly what I expected.
And I think the rash decision was realizing, wait, I just committed to KU to play
Never mind.
That off.
He is likely going to LSU, and then yesterday, three-star defensive tackle Nelson Jenkins, also out of Louisiana, announced his decommitment as well. So KU's class is still a very nice one. They still have a couple of four-star guys, a few three-star guys as well. But again, I don't know how many of those are actually going to end up at KU with still more than 11 months until National Signing Day. If they are able to basically keep that part of their class together and finish in the top 25 nationally, that would be a heck of a job by David Beatty and his staff. And I do, even though we crack jokes about the Kansas football program, I have a lot of respect for David Beatty. I really like him as a coach, and I do think that he can turn Kansas into a decent Big 12 football program, one that's, that gets to, you know, six or seven wins, can go to a bowl game. I don't think that's going to happen this coming season for KU, but within the next couple of years, I do think they are trending in that direction, certainly much more than they ever did under Charlie Weiss or Turner Gill. But we will have to wait and see what happens with this recruiting class that KU put together somewhat miraculously, and now they're having to pick up the pieces a little bit.
Well, I'll just say this. The amount of stock I'm going to put into the quote-unquote top 10 recruiting class is absolutely zero. The way I say this is, or reason I should say this, if would be the correct wording here, is because I actually looked at the rankings, and these rankings are off the basis of each team having 6, 7, 8, maybe, oral commitments.
Right.
Obviously, oral commitments mean very little. Doesn't mean anything until your name's on a piece of paper. And again, 6 to 8 guys in most of these classes. I mean, that's nothing. A full class is 25, 30 people. So,
I mean, the
that
top
doesn't mean that you're going to get more five-star, but solid 3-star and 4-star caliber talent to fill out that class. You could have a couple of 4-stars commit early and then be getting your fringe JUCO players and 2-stars and 3-stars the rest of the way, and you end up with a class in the 50s and 60s like you're used to having at KU. I mean, who cares is my response to this, I should say.
Your top schools in the country, like Alabama, Ohio State, USC, I mean, just, you know, all of those blue blood programs have not extended about 50% of their scholarship offers yet.
Exactly.
You know, they haven't even offered a lot of these people. And so if Alabama ever decides that they want one of the oral commitments that Kansas has, they're probably going to get them. More likely than not. Unless
they really, really want to play.
Well, yeah, and that would be, maybe a
legitimate
reason.
The only
thing
you could say is, if compared to playing as a true freshman instead of redshirting for a year and then maybe playing as a redshirt sophomore, redshirt junior, I mean, that would be about the one thing that you could possibly sell. Yeah, otherwise, though, your point is right.
They do have an opportunity to go to Kansas and basically, they would still be second fiddle to even the bench warmers of KU's basketball team, but they would be at least the big man on campus in terms of the football team. So we'll have
right below Tyler Self.
Yeah, that's
just below.
I honestly think that's pretty accurate. That's what's going on with KU's football program right now. I want to go through game by game with the Big 12 and all of the basketball games that are taking place tomorrow. We've, of course, been talking a lot about K-State and Texas. The big one tomorrow is Kansas and Baylor, number 3 Jayhawks, number 4 Bears. Had Kansas not had the miraculous comeback to beat West Virginia at Allen Fieldhouse earlier this week, this would be a huge game in the Big 12 title race. As it is, it's still a big game because a Baylor win would keep the door open for them. But at this point, I don't think that there's much of a chance that KU is going to be stopped from getting its 13th straight Big 12 title. They are 11-2 in the Big 12. Baylor is 9-4, so there's a two-game difference there. Baylor could get a game closer with this. But again, tying would not stop the streak. You have to beat them by a game, and that doesn't seem likely. So Baylor has not done themselves any favors. They have lost at home to K-State, which is... I mean, that's great for K-State, but that's really,
From a Baylor standpoint, that's a bad loss. That's a really bad loss.
That is a loss that they could not have afforded. And then they their last time out, they lost at Texas Tech. And, I mean, Tech is a decent team, and it was a road game, but still. The point is, those are games that KU isn't losing.
Yeah, KU isn't – I mean, let me back up a little bit. The Big 12, 2 through 10, they're all cannibalizing each other. KU is not part of that.
Yeah, that's
the way it's been every year. Yes. When there's any shred of doubt, it seems like that KU might not win the Big 12 title, or even might not win it outright. Might just tie. Someone is going to screw it up somehow. I mean, you look at K-State in 2012; they had an unranked Oklahoma State team at home, chance to win the Big 12 outright, lost.
Well, that was in Stillwater. The final day of the season, that game was in Stillwater. Okay. But yes, I mean,
an unranked Oklahoma State team with a chance to win outright, and they lost. And now we see Baylor, the bad loss at home to K-State, the bad loss at Texas Tech, and West Virginia. Who knows what they're going to do every time they get on the floor? I mean, you get the point. KU doesn't have those nights.
Moving on to some of the other games tomorrow, Texas Tech and West Virginia. That one in Morgantown, it's a game that Texas Tech really needs. They are 5-8 in the Big 12, which is the same mark that K-State has, but they are in way worse shape with the NCAA tournament because their RPI numbers are not very good, strength of schedule not good at all. It would be virtually impossible for them to get into the NCAA tournament with an 8-10 Big 12 record. They need to go 9-9 at the very least. And they still have a tough schedule to navigate after they play at West Virginia tomorrow. They still have a road trip to Oklahoma State. They still have to play at K-State to end the regular season. They also have a home game against Iowa State. So Texas Tech is right up against the wall. We will see if they can maybe spring a surprise in Morgantown tomorrow, but I would doubt that would be the case. As for TCU and Iowa State, that's a game that that I would say neither team is going to be hurt all that much by losing. Both are in pretty decent shape with the NCAA tournament. TCU is a game under 500 in the Big 12 right now, but the RPI numbers are very, very solid. Iowa State is 8-5 in the Big 12, so they're in pretty good shape as well. That's not one where you would expect to see a level of desperation out of either of those teams. Oklahoma and Oklahoma State is the night game on ESPNU at 7 o'clock. Oklahoma State is also in pretty decent shape right now, but what can undo that is a home loss to Oklahoma. I mean, that would be, on paper, the worst loss that a Big 12 team could possibly suffer would be a home loss to Oklahoma, whose RPI is in the 160s right now. So Oklahoma State needs to hold down the fort at home. I think that they probably will. They've been playing some great basketball. They've won 7 of their last 8 games. After Oklahoma, their next game is at K-State, coming up next week in Brad Underwood's return to Bramlage Coliseum, which will be a very fun atmosphere, I'm sure.
I can't imagine the angriness of the Bramlage faithful in that one.
I'll say this. It'll be a lot worse if K-State loses to Texas tomorrow.
Oh, my. It'll be a lot worse. I would want to go to that game just to see how angry
I will be honest. I feel sympathy for Bruce Weber going into that position because he doesn't have anything to do with it. I mean, that's a tough position for him to be in, and I'm sure he's going to get asked questions about it. It's just a little bit uncomfortable if you're the head coach of the Cats, in my opinion. But we'll see how he handles it.
I mean, it's uncomfortable for anyone involved. Really is.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter if you had anything to do with it or not. It's not going to be comfortable for anybody.
I doubt that Brad Underwood is going to enjoy it very much. I don't know. I could be wrong, but we'll cross that bridge when we get there. K-State's got to take care of Texas first, and then Oklahoma State plays Oklahoma tomorrow at home as well. Going to head to our next break. When we come back, we'll get another update from MHS Regional Wrestling down in Hutchinson and a great story to finish out the week. Alex Barnes, K-State running back, lost his wallet. And the way it was returned is a story that's going to bring a smile to your face. You'll hear the details coming up.